Havareem. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. Tonight, we are going to focus on you and basically how to cope with that stress of these last days. But first, my husband will open with a prayer for us all.
Father God, we humbly approach your throne of grace as you continually show mercy to all of us. May we never disappoint you. Please grant us your shalom during these tumultuous times that demand courage to always speak the truth in love and with compassion, while being ready at all times to proclaim the good news. Bless our listeners tonight, and may this program glorify only you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen to that. And let me ask you, saints of God, and please be very honest with yourself, because this program's all about you. If you were asked to give yourself, say, a number from 1 to 10 on the Christian scale of your personal walk with Jesus, what would it be? I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but I have one more question. Are you justified but not totally sanctified? Do you know the difference? Well, a question that came in about 2 weeks ago from a new Christian was just that: to please explain the difference. So that's our teaching, and if you have a prayer request or a question you would like us to address, my husband Dan will tell you how you can do that.
Okay, actually there are three ways. You can send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Again, that's 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And we truly appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can read the many archived newsletters, sign up for the new ones, and listen to any previous radio programs on shofarministries.net. Also, Shofar Assembly meets on the first Friday every month at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio.
All right. Now, by now, you should have given yourself a number from 1 to 10 on how personally you know Jesus. And since we know there is always room for improvement, a 10 is surely not claimed very often. I can only hope that most of you took the number of an 8 or a 9, or at least a 7. If not, then you just might be in that lukewarm range between 4 and 6, where Scripture is very plain that God cannot use you effectively for the kingdom. Our Scripture reference is in Revelation, which, as you most of you know, is my favorite book of the New Testament. Dan, could you read Revelation 3:15 and 16 for our listeners?
Well, yeah, you know, all the answers are always in the back of the book. Be glad to. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth.
Wow. Now, that's pretty understandable. And even if you were cold, which just usually means you're a new believer, he can inspire you to grow and kind of nudge you along through the process of sanctification, or possibly you're backsliding and you need an attitude adjustment. I've been there myself. But someone who is lukewarm and has been there for a while, therefore not growing, that really displeases God, for he can't use them effectively to grow the kingdom. In fact, his last words at his ascension were to go and tell all, to make disciples. You know, go and tell all, and then make disciples. and that is meant for all Christians. But the lukewarm, since they obviously are not abiding in the Word of God, as Jesus says to do in John 8:31, just will not have that passion that it takes to witness, or for that matter, the desire to even ask for the power gained by the adding of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In proper terms, the goal of all true believers should be total sanctification. That means your body, your soul, and your spirit, or he will vomit you out of his mouth. This does not mean you will lose your salvation, as some have said, because only denying and walking away from Christ can do that. Scripture calls it blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But now here he's talking to the church at Laodicea, which, by the way, means rule of the people. Or they wanted to have it their own way. And in these last days, this church of Laodicea are lazy Christians, with some being in name only, needing to open the door of their heart, as Jesus requested in verse 20. And by the way, in verse 14, they are addressed as the church, so we know some were saved, but the majority of them are lukewarm. Therefore, God cannot use them effectively in his service. And still some, as we said, just have a head knowledge. As Jesus describes in Matthew 7, when you get a chance, read that, the whole chapter. It's a great one. But there are those there that he says need to be saved. They were in name only. They called themselves Christians, but they really weren't. Still another analogy is in Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, which is a synonym for Christians. Okay, virgin, Christian. But 5 of them had no oil, which is the type of the Holy Spirit that indwells in all of us as soon as we are saved, justifiably saved. But 5 were obviously in name only. They called themselves a Christian, but they had a head knowledge only. So therefore, they couldn't enter the kingdom. Now, because Scripture interprets Scripture, we know this is the correct interpretation, since Jesus used the same terminology in Matthew 25:12 of not knowing them, as he said in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Now, I know only God can and will judge the hearts, but we can get a real good idea by the fruits they produce. And I am very concerned that there are a lot of in-name-only Christians. We need to be more bold and stop just assuming someone is saved because they say so. Start asking if you have any thoughts. Are you making disciples? Are you abiding in his word? That means like every day. Maybe you could use the scale question along with Revelation 3:15 so they can see how God is displeased with lukewarmness. And what about you? Where are you in this scenario? This is a very serious question that only you can answer. You know, I'm sure you know, we are very close to his return, where God desires to give us rewards from his book of remembrance. You can read about that in Malachi 3. Staying lukewarm, it's like saying to God, I don't want your rewards, nor do I need them. Let's be honest. That's exactly what he sees. So repent, start again, like I had to do over 20 years ago. And most important, Get totally sanctified as Scripture says to do. Now let's go over some of those pertinent words of wisdom. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." And then he goes on to clarify that. He says, "And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now here's an important question that needs answered too. How do we do that, really? Prayer? Good deeds? Well, what does Jesus say in John 17:17 when praying to the Father? He says, "Sanctify them by your truth, for your word is truth." So it's the study of his word that progresses you to total sanctification, and that's it. And as well, it'll increase your faith. Man is spirit, soul, and body. That is the progression, and God is a God of order. Upon salvation, our spirit man is regenerated and preserved blameless, therefore now justified. In other words, just as if I've never sinned, bathed in the blood of the Lamb, and now we'll spend eternity with Jesus. But, and this is extremely important for you to get a hold of, to really be used of the Lord down here right now, your soul or your mind, will, and emotions, and then your fleshly body also needs to be sanctified to be effective for the Lord. It's a must. And that's what 1 Thessalonians says that we just read. So knowing this, we can understand what Paul really meant when he said in Philippians 2:12, to work out your own salvation. Now we know that our salvation doesn't come from good works. The working out here means to make every effort to further your sanctification to your soul and your flesh. And therefore, that's what it means to crucify the flesh. It's just all different words to mean the same thing. Salvation really means safety in his arms. It means deliverance. He meant to take our free gift of salvation that occurred in our spirit, that was once a vacuum, but now filled with Jesus, and increase it out to your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. In other words, what you do. And then keep it going till it permeates through to the flesh, the body. Let's look at another analogy of sanctification, which coincides with our faith. At the time of one's true salvation as a gift, we are given a measured amount of faith. The word is metron, 3358, and it means limited amount of faith. Also, Romans 12:3. We believed the truth, and we got saved. So we're given a measured amount of faith. And by the way, that truth is the first piece of armor that comes on Ephesians 6. And all the other pieces of armor are attached to that one piece. The girdle, by the way. Now, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from the word, so more word, more faith. And it is up to us and is always our choice to increase that faith, to increase Jesus. But we must mindfully choose to put more Jesus in. Once again, I ask you, how is that done? Through prayer? No. Through a positive attitude of confession? No. Again, Scripture tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing the word of God. In other words, to give an ear to it. And the word is akouo, and it means to really understand, not just hear, like one ear and out the other. It's to understand. It obviously means you got to study it, particularly look up any words that the Holy Spirit nudges you to do in a Bible dictionary. Always next to you when you study. Now, unless we get totally sanctified, we will be lacking in faith. So, we'll continue losing those spiritual battles because our armor, which is Jesus, is not fully on. Total sanctification equals total armor of Ephesians 6. And it means a victorious life. You're not going to be practicing that same sin that has a hold on you, or at least used to. Otherwise, often, if you don't get totally sanctified, it's easier to backslide. I know, I've been there. That's why I can preach this. If you haven't read Ephesians 6, or at least in a while, please do it. For it says in verse 17 that the helmet of salvation isn't until the fifth piece of armor. The first, as we said, is that girdle of truth. And of course, that's necessary. Got to have that before you can have anything else. Then there's righteousness, then there's preparation so that you can run that race that Paul calls it, to total sanctification. Then you're adding to your faith, which is your shield. But number 5 is where your salvation, your helmet of salvation comes on. And that just means you're secure then. You're not going to be backsliding then. You really only backslide when you stay an outer court Christian, or what they say, not growing or lukewarm. And then, of course, we have the word or the sword. And then number 7 is the prayer. And that's when you pray, because all your armor is on, you're completely sanctified, and you are very righteous, and therefore your prayer availeth much. Prayer is the last, after all the armor, in which another piece is added according to your time spent in studying His Word. You can't pray it on. And in fact, it should never come off. Now, your flesh fights against the spirit. Always remember that. The flesh doesn't want you to grow. And he fights by means of your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, because your soul will only follow in the direction that it's pulled in the most, whichever is more powerful. You absolutely must feed your spirit with the word so that Jesus grows stronger than your flesh, and therefore is in control over your flesh. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can't walk unless you're using the flesh. So therefore, your spirit, your soul, and your flesh needs to be sanctified, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. At least you will not practice that. We're all going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. But to stay in and practice lusts of the flesh, you won't do that if you're totally sanctified. Remember, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the way to go. If you're going to be a Christian, do it right. It makes life so much easier, I promise you. And actually, a very simple concept is in Ephesians 5:26. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Let's look at the tabernacle typology real quick. Don't have too much time here, but when you accept Christ as the only door or gate to the Father, only one way, you have entered the outer court of the tabernacle that only has, again, as I said, one gate. So then you've been bathed in the blood of the Lamb by accepting His sacrifice. Now here it comes, and this is huge. But that's as far as you can go till you wash in the water. You know, there's a laver there. After the sacrifice, you have to wash first before you can go into the holy place. Okay, they would proceed into the holy place to burn the incense and to pray. Many Christians just want to bypass the laver or bypass the word and go right into the place of prayer, and that is out of order. And more scripture on sanctification is Hebrews 2:11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. In other words, they are all saved, but still working on their sanctification to crucify the flesh. That's how it works. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Are being sanctified. So it's a process. It's clearly a process. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He's speaking of totally formed in them, body, soul, and spirit. In other words, Paul was saying, get on with it. You're still a baby. And remember, your flesh will fight being in the Word. The cares of this life will inhibit you. Read Luke 21. And Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Again, a walk is using the flesh. Openly seen to all. Others should see your fruits. And they will if you're totally sanctified. That is your goal. Should be your goal. Again, you can't really walk in the Spirit unless you're totally sanctified, and that means all your armor is on as well. And contrary to many, you cannot just pray your armor on. I can't say that enough. Amen. Well, we have just a few minutes left. Let me just add a little more to this. The scripture, but let me ask you this. Have you ever taken a writing class in school? It's sort of like teaches you not how to not sound repetitious. That's the word I want. You know, in other words, teaches you to use different descriptions or pictures and different words, but they're basically all synonymous, coming to the same conclusion. Well, that's what scripture does. You know, like Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. He uses these pictures to help you understand and describe, and then in different parts of the Bible, it'll be a different picture. So basically, you want to move quickly for the prize. What is the prize? Philippians 3:14, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This prize is a synonym for sanctification. God uses numerous different pictures and examples and parables to teach us. The most important truth, of course, and that is to get sanctified. Increase your level of faith so you can be used effectively in His kingdom, both now and in the future kingdom. And that in itself is a great incentive. Stop being lazy. Study His Word and help others to understand this as well. Don't keep this knowledge to yourself. Help them to grow. Another example of this typology is in John 13. After the Passover Seder meal of the Lamb, the disciples had to be washed. Remember that? Or they could have no part of Jesus. That word part, meros, is to share or have fellowship with. In other words, they would be useless if they remained in the outer court and didn't get washed. They had to wash in the laver of water, for it was a type of the Word. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was washing them with water. And that's why He said you can't be used unless you get washed in that water of the Word. Ephesians 5 tells us that as well. So you have to progress and in the proper order. When Peter realized what was going on, he asked Jesus, oh, wash my hands too, please. And we see also that, I guess I'm running out of time here, but it also says that we should wash each other's feet as well. And what does that mean? That there's a much deeper meaning of this, and that means share this good news. Share how to be sanctified with others. I share these scripture truths with others, and that's why I love sharing these gold nuggets with you. Or perhaps I should say I love washing your feet and pray you will do the same by sharing what you learn with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, because that was the typology Jesus was using. You've got to be washed or you can't be used. Use the word every day. Study the word every day and you will grow and be sanctified. And what about you? How about your heart? How well do you know him? Is he your personal Jesus? Do you have a passion to grow in him? If not, you can do it right now. And now for the Aaronic blessing, Yevarakaka Adonai V'yishmereka, Ya'er Adonai Pana V'leka V'yuneka, Yasa Adonai Pana V'leka V'yasem Laha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Be back next time. Mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month. Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.